This week, as I was preparing to preach and teach, I was like, that song came to mind. It's not every Sunday that pastor gets to have a walk-up song. But, you know, I said, okay, this is fitting. But as I watched that video, here's one thing that got my attention. He leaves you right where he found you. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Never does he give you the answer of how not to worry. He just says to be happy. That song might make you smile. It might make you dance. It made Robin Williams. I forgot that Robin Williams was even in that video. So it's a catchy tune, but again, he leaves you right where he found you. Let's turn to God's Word. We're continuing our study of the book of Philippians, Philippians 4, 6, and 7 today. Turn there. You'll find these similar words. Let's look at what Paul gives as he's giving practical counsel to the church at Philippi. We find these words. You'll see these similar words in your copy of God's Word, whether in physical form or on your app. Look with me together. Verse 6, don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. May the Lord bless the reading and preaching of his word. Amen. So as we come together this morning, I wrestled with this particular message this week. It was tough. Everywhere that I looked, in my own life, in conversations with my family, in the work of ministry this past week, turning on the news or seeing the news while I was at the gym, there's a lot of worry and anxiety in the world today, is there not? We don't have to look far. Sometimes it's even within our own hearts, our own minds. So again, it's just a tough message because there's several things that I feel like the Lord showed me that I want you to see, and I want us to approach that with reverence. I want us to approach it with open hearts. And so today, our kind of main thought, I wrestled with this, I don't think I nailed it, but here's where we are, is where we stand this morning. Kind of a main thought to begin today's message is this. When we're overcome with worry, we tend to wallow. Instead, we should pray. For prayer is the antidote for worry. So actually on the back of your bulletin, the sermon title is the antidote to anxiety, if you're taking notes, the antidote to anxiety. I chose those words purposely. Why? Because we tend to wallow. What does it mean to wallow? It means that we roll ourselves around in a lazy manner, that we become helpless. But friends, we're not to wallow in our worries. We're not hopeless, nor are we helpless. I like what Dr. Charles Stanley said. He has some life principles. I don't know exactly how many he has. I think they're like maybe 29 or 30. But as I was studying this week, one of his life principles was just this. We stand tallest and strongest on our knees. You think about that this morning. He's calling us to prayer, where the text is calling us as well. But think about it with me this morning too. An antidote. What is an antidote? It is a remedy to counteract the effects of poison. Put an asterisk there. Sometimes it's something to relieve or prevent something. So the antidote, kind of that to counteract worry is prayer. That the antidote to anxiety is prayer. Look with me in verse 6 and look at what Paul says as he's writing to the church at Philippi. He says, don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You see, friends, this morning, Paul knew the hardships that the Philippian church was facing. He knew what caused them worry. He knew what made them fearful. As we look at this verse this morning, just as I kind of mark up my notes, I type it, it's typed out, and then I begin to highlight or draw, doodle, interact with the text. And so just here's what I saw as I was studying. Don't worry. Don't be anxious about anything. That's pretty all-inclusive, isn't it? Don't worry. Don't be anxious about anything. But he says what? In everything, in every situation, in every Thanksgiving, present your request. Present your specific request to God. You see, friends, if we're not careful, our worries and fears can paralyze us. You know, as we think this morning, as you saw, one translation used the word worry, one translation used the word anxious. What's the difference between worry and anxiety? You know, one thing for me, I keep a dictionary, I keep the internet, I keep my tools that I have, a program called Logos that I use. I keep several things before me. My Bible is open. And so this week I read an article from Henry Ford Health about worry versus anxiety, because I wanted to just wrestle and say, okay, what is the difference? To me, one thing I would say before we start, I really feel like that worry is kind of the beginnings and anxiety is where it consumes us. So let's look at what Henry Ford Health said. They said this, they said, worry is specific. Anxiety is generalized. Oh, I skipped down too far. You were good job, Grant. You're keeping me on track. So the first one is, worry tends to reside in our minds, and anxiety affects both the body and the mind. Worry is specific. Anxiety is generalized. Worry is grounded in reality, and anxiety is marked by catastrophic thinking. Worry is temporary, and anxiety is long-standing. Worry doesn't usually impair function, and anxiety does. You know, what was interesting is they gave some answers of how to combat worry and anxiety. And I kind of had to chuckle when I looked at the first one. And you know what the first one, they said, you know, if you want to kind of rid yourself of some worry and anxiety, their first takeaway was this: turn off the news. Listen, social media, the news, they are there to consume your time and to consume your attention. We have been inundated with modern technology by things that we can't, we have enough worries and cares in our own lives, our own homes, and we have been inundated with things that we cannot control and we cannot affect. You'll see an article of something that happened in Washington State. I'm not saying that I'm not without compassion and not going to pray for certain people, but I can't affect what happens in Washington State, can I? I barely can even control what happens in my own home. As we try to teach our children, you are only responsible for you. You're only responsible for yourself. And so what we see here this morning as we study this passage, Paul is calling the believer to pray. You say, wow, Pastor, that was really profound. No, he's calling us to pray. We need to be reminded to have a spirit of prayer. Can I also remind you of this morning? Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. We're to pray. We're to stay in the Word. And why do we stay in the Word? We need to stay in the Word because we need to challenge negative thoughts with Scripture. We need to speak, listen to me, we need to speak truth to the lies that Satan tries to implant in our hearts and our minds. Jesus reminds us of our enemy. He tells us he only comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. John records a dispute over whose children Jesus' opponents really are. Look with me on the screen behind me in John 8:44. Jesus speaking, he's speaking to the Jews, and they're just trying to, you are of your father the devil, and I want, and you want to carry out your father's desires. Listen to how he describes our enemy. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature because he is a liar and the father of lies. When you have that worry, when you have that doubt, when you have that anxiety in your life, run to the Lord. Fall on your knees. Open your Bible and say, what does God's Word say about this? We have such great technology. If you're struggling with something, type in verse anxiety, enter, and see what comes up. Don't just go see what Timbuktu and some Yahoo in Timbuktu says, but if they link you to Bible Gateway or somewhere this scripture, maybe there'll be some scripture to show you there. So use technology to your advantage. But what we need to remember, and this is what I challenge you, as you read books, as you study, our study on Wednesday morning, or even our groups that we're going through with growing up, they'll mention scripture. And so often we'll read it and say, oh, well, such and such in John 8:44 and yada, yada, yada. We read it. No, take time, slow down, and go look that verse up. And then when you look that verse up, like I did on 8:44, read around and try to grab who's talking. Who's speaking? What's happening in this scenario? But what we see right before that, because we have to read around Scripture, we can't just cherry pick things that we see and try to make them apply. But what do we see a couple of verses before that? Look with me in John 8:31 and 32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide, if you remain in my word, you are truly my disciples. How else will we know? How else will they will know that we're his disciples? By our love. In his word and our love, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Friends, speak truth to the lies. Now back to Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Two things I want to give you this morning that we need to ask ourselves of this particular passage. And the first is this: when worries enter my mind, am I communicating them to Jesus? When that worry enters your mind and enters your heart, are you communicating that to Jesus? Secondly, we have to ask ourselves, am I taking those thoughts captive and looking to Christ and his word? What does God's word say about this? So am I communicating with Jesus, and I just pouring out my heart? God, I'm anxious right now. You know, help me to be still and know that you're God. Pray scripture back to him. He wrote it as his love letter to you. Pray it back to him. He wants to hear his word prayed back to him. We're to hide his word. What does Psalm 119 tell us? We're to hide his word in our heart. Why? That we might not sin against him. So are you hiding? Are you planting God's word in your heart and your mind so that when you're in those situations, and Isaiah 26, 3 and 4 comes to mind, that you may keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Do you trust God? Are you trusting in what you can do and in your strength and in your wisdom? Another thing I read this week as I was studying about worry was something from Billy Graham. Look at what Billy Graham had to say. I don't know when he said this. He could have said it in 1970. He could have said it in 1980. He could have said it right before he went home to be with the Lord. I don't know when he said it, but I think it's still true. Look at what he said. Mankind has always been beset with worry, and the pressures of modern life have aggravated the problem. Whew. Yeah, social media has too. Many of you are filled with 1,000 anxieties. Bring them to Jesus Christ by faith. But you know what, friends? I would encourage you, whether it be Billy Graham, Corey Ten Boom, Elizabeth Elliot, Oswald Chambers, Spurgeon, these men and women of the faith that have gone on before us, read about their lives. Read the autobiography, the biographies that have been written by them. I think this morning I want to take you to what else Billy Graham said. And look at what he said. He said, I am learning in my own. This is Billy Graham, the greatest evangelist probably the modern world has ever known. And he could admit, hey, I'm learning in my own life day by day to keep my mind centered on Christ. If Billy Graham had to remind himself to be centered in Christ, how much more do we? I think that's a great reminder. Why? The worries and anxieties and concerns of this world will pass, and nothing but perfect peace is left in the human heart. That's what we see this morning in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. So I want to ask you this morning, friends, what makes you fearful? What makes you afraid? What makes you most nervous? Is it something to do with your job? Is it something in your family? Is it a friendship? Is it your future? Is it your health? Is it your finances? Is it your marriage? Is it the unknowns of what this week may hold? I think we need to be reminded of what the psalmist tells us. I love the Psalms because they're raw and real with God. Every anxiety, every fear, every temptation, every struggle that we have, as we read the psalmist, we can see in ourselves. Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 42, verse 5. Why, my soul, are you so dejected? Why are you in so much turmoil? He reminds himself, put your hope in God, and I will still praise him, my Savior and my God. Here's another good verse to commit to memory. 1 Peter 5, 7. Peter reminds us of this truth. Casting all your cares on him, Christ, because he cares about you. Casting our cares is a studied, ran across a nugget of wisdom from Charles Spurgeon, the prince of preachers, as he's often called. He once said this, when all our care is cast on God, we can joy and rejoice in his providential care of us. So this morning, as we talk about prayer, don't worry about anything, but in everything, in every situation, in every circumstance, through prayer. As we think about prayer this morning, I just want to remind you of a few truths about prayer I've learned over the years. The first is prayer puts things into perspective. Prayer puts things into perspective. You don't know how to love your enemy? Pray for him. You don't know how you're going to get through a certain situation? Pray about it. You don't know what to do about your anxiety? Pray about it. Because you see, friends, I tell you and remind you often, when we pray specifically, God answers specifically. I mean, I could stand up at the end of the service and say, God bless these people. And could God bless us? Sure. But how do we know if God is specifically answering our prayers? But if we pray specifically for a marriage, if we pray specifically for the Hensley family who lost their son and husband this week, right? If we pray specifically for God, do you think God could work in that situation? Sure. So when you pray specifically, God answers specifically. Another nugget of wisdom I had years ago is this. I haven't used it a lot lately, and that's this. When people work, people work. When people pray, God works. There's a lot of times we're busy for God. We're not with God, but we're busy for him. We're busy bodies. Scripture doesn't have too good of things to say about busybodies. But we're busy, we're running, we're doing this. Yeah, I'm doing this all in the name of Jesus. No. But are we praying? I'm not saying God can't use us, God can. He's used many of you in this room. I see your faces. See, I know some of the trials and struggles and health concerns and things that you've been through that you may be going through now. When we work, we work. But when we pray, God begins to work. God can do what only he does. Martin Luther once said this, to be a Christian without prayer is not more possible than to be alive without breathing. I think about one of the great praise hymns of modern praise hymn that we, or song that we sing today. It's what? It's your breath in our lungs. We pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. Right? Not only are we to pour out our praise, but we're to communicate with God. We're to have that time of prayer. Prayer in its simplest form is just communication with God. It's pouring out your heart and mind and saying, God, here's where I'm at. Here's what I'm wrestling with. Here's what frustrates me. Look back with me at Philippians 4:6. He says, don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer And he gives us that he gives us three words here I want to call your attention to. He says, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So first off, what is a petition? A petition is a need. Are you letting the Lord know? Are you praying the needs of your life? The book of Philippians is about joy. If you want to experience joy in your life, let me give you a little acronym, JOY. In your prayer life, pray first and foremost about Jesus. Just praise Him for who He is. Then pray for others. Oh, Jesus, others, and then you. Pray for your needs that you have in your life. A petition. He mentions a petition. We're to take those petitions, those needs that we have in our lives, take those to the Lord. Then he says that we are, skip Thanksgiving for a moment, we'll come back to that. He says you're to present your request, your specific request to God, your specific concerns to God. Listen, guys, a moment in which we are plagued by worry is not the time for a general prayer for God to bless the world. Oh, no, friends, we need to get specific and be very specific. How many of you this morning have ever gone to a vending machine, put your money in, press the button, and nothing comes out? Anybody ever had that happen? And so what did you do? If you were like me, like, I want what I put in there. You know, like you shake the machine, right? You bam on the machine. Prayer is not a vending machine where God dispenses our every want, our fixes our every need at that exact moment when we press the button, when we throw up a prayer. We'll bow our heads. Father God, I just pray for this need in my life. We love you. Amen. Where's that, God? I can't, you know, where am I missing it? Where's that? That's not how God works. God is more like a master chef. Now, I hadn't eaten breakfast, so on the way home, I might have an inkling for mac and cheese. So I could stop by the food line, and I could go on that aisle, and I could find some instant mac and cheese, right? And if I was coming back for a meeting at the church, I could go in the kitchen and put some water, put it in there, stir it all up, put it in the microwave, set the timer, and in a few minutes, then it would what? Ding! Did I have mac and cheese? Sure. Is that mac and cheese very good? Not really. So, as we think about God being a master chef, I want you to think about Thanksgiving coming up. Think about your mom or your grandmother's mac and cheese. Now, like the old meme, go make mac and cheese for Thanksgiving. Amen? Y'all seen that meme? Like, you're not just going to show up. Can't just anybody and everybody make mac and cheese. But God is our master chef. And so, listen, guys, it may take longer, but it is oh so much better. It is prepared with love. It is prepared just for us, and it is good for the body and soul. Friends, that is what prayer is to the believer. God is not slow in answering. He's just preparing something better. He's going to provide you with what you need in His timing, and it's going to be good. And I want to encourage you this morning to trust and to wait. There are some prayers you may never see answered this side of glory. You may not. I'm here today probably because of the prayers of my grandmother, my granny, church for 30 years. Can you imagine the anxiety, the worry, the countless tears, the prayers that were poured out for him? 30 years. What we have to remember is our God is not a vending machine, nor is He a genie in a bottle. But we are to trust and obey and pray and wait and allow Him to work in His timing. We live in an instant, have it your way society, and it's hard to trust God in the times, especially which we live, because we lack and want for nothing. But the call of a Christian is something more, something better, something higher. Listen, as we think about that illustration of mac and cheese, I think about what David, as I thought about that taste of how it tastes, I thought about what David says in Psalm 34, verse 8 and 9. He says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack." So not only should there be petition, not only should there be request, but we are to give them with thanksgiving. Our prayers should be shaped by gratitude. As we approach this November, those of you that are on social media, it's amazing how all of a sudden November 1st hits and everybody's thankful for something. Where were they the other 11 months of the year? We'll turn our attention to be thankful. Heck, even sometimes, some people who aren't even close to God or from far from God will at least be thankful maybe one day on Thanksgiving Day. But as Christians, though, we're called to be thankful every day. I'm thankful that he gave me breath this morning, that I was able to get up out of bed and to take a shower and to get dressed and was able to drive here and in my right mind for the most part. And, you know, that I'm able to show up and take what he's shown me this week and say, God, okay, hide me behind the cross. Let him see you. Let him see your word. Let him see what you want him to see, not me. I love what Tony Evans said. I read a lot of what he had to say this week about anxiety and worry. He says this, offering thanks is a demonstration of faith in God's goodness and provision despite what you see. Looking at our next verse, verse 7, we see the byproduct of our prayers. We see it as what? It is the peace of God, which he gives along with the power to endure. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. For some odd reason, y'all, I keep finding myself in the International Children's Bible because sometimes I just need it simplified the best that it can be. Look at how it translates this verse, especially the last half. The peace that God gives is so great that we cannot understand it. Have you ever experienced the peace of God that made no sense? Have you ever experienced a time where his peace surpassed all understanding? So you might be asking, okay, don't worry, pray, give our petitions, there should be thanksgiving, be specific, hey, and then maybe we might experience the peace of God. No, he says it will. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. But what does it look like to live this out? Well, I want to first just, let's take a moment, let's step back for a second and ask ourselves, what does worry and anxiety do to you? It is a joy killer. It is a joy killer. It will make you self-absorbed. When you're consumed by your worries, you will be less likely to serve others wholeheartedly. It distracts you and keeps you from being on mission. Go look up 2 Corinthians chapter 1. There in the beginning of chapter 1, it says, "The God of all comfort, the God of all mercies, has comforted us in our times of affliction, that we too might comfort others." The Hensley family, there will be people that will walk and gather around. That's my prayer. Lord, send the ones who know you. Lord, send the ones that could be your hands and feet. There will be people that walk into their lives that will be a hand to hold, a shoulder to lean on, somebody to cry with, somebody to listen. Why? Because they understand what they're going through. I've been in our prayer meeting one day, and there was a gentleman there, and he was down and out. His wife, he's a widower, been a widower for about a year, maybe a year and a half. And he was down and out that day. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit reminded me, he was down and out. And I said, "Look, dude, I want you to look to the left and right and behind of you. That pew you're on and the one behind you, they're all widows and widowers too." So the enemy, the father of lies, tries to make us think, nobody else knows what you're going through, buddy. And look at where God had placed him that day, with brothers and sisters in Christ who knew the valley that he's going through. Most importantly, worry and anxiety, they rob you of peace. Paul says that peace will fill the hearts of praying believers. But let's talk really quickly. You can say, hurry up, preacher, get on off of this. Maybe the Spirit's speaking to you today. There are also physical signs of worry and anxiety. Unusual mood swings, irritability, anger, sweating, rapid heartbeat, chest pain, exhaustion, nervous twitching, decreased concentration and memory, nausea, shortness of breath, weight gain or loss, panic, indecisiveness, muscle tension, insomnia, high blood pressure, overeating. Wow. What a list. Here's the thing, guys. Lean in to the uncomfortableness. Look at me. The reason I wrestled so much with this message is because I'm not just here today to tell you to just pray harder. Yeah, you're to pray. But there are churches in our community that people are dealing with worry and anxiety, and they will say, oh, there's sin in your life. You just need to pray harder. No, there's chemical imbalances and things that exist in our hearts and minds. We'll talk about here in just a second, counseling and medication. Those two things exist for a reason. Grant, skip to the slide real quick. This week as I was, I found ourselves at a table on Friday, and we were talking about this, and I told him, I was just, hey, I have this burden. I don't want to, like, put another weight or burden on somebody else, and this is what we said. Grant, see if you can find this slide. We can't use counseling and medication as an excuse to not address the problem. Here's the thing. Listen, you say, well, wait a second. I have been counseling people. I have been meeting with people and say, hey, you might need to go to some counseling. Ooh, counseling? I've been to counseling myself. We need someone outside of us to be able to help us to process things. I've been to counseling. There is a stigma around counseling. No, I'm taking a class right now on pastoral counseling. It's okay. Medication exists to help, but we should not let counseling and medication, yeah, they might help for a season, but we need to begin to wrestle to say, okay, God, what might be there that I'm trying to cover over? What do you want me to see? Well, how do you help? How do you want me to grow? Listen, guys, what does the world say we should do about anxiety? Although they say, do some acupuncture, drink some alcohol, try some aromatherapy, go to a yoga class, take medication. And listen, while God blesses us with many evidences of his common grace through some of these means, we should start with what he said about the issues specifically in his word. We need to know God's word to know God's peace. We need to seek Jesus, we need to turn our worries into prayers. When you are worried, look to Jesus. Allow Christ to replace your anxiety with his peace. Listen, Paul is echoing what we don't see here on a quick read through Philippians chapter 6. We don't see that Paul is echoing what Jesus said, the words of Jesus. Let me go back briefly. Grant, see if you can find this place too. Sorry I'm making you jump around today, buddy. Thank you for what you're doing. Look at what Jesus gives us. He gives us instruction about allowing his teaching to minister to our anxious hearts. He mentions this in what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Look with me in Matthew chapter 6. And as I went to turn in my Bible even this morning, I was thankful for the heading in my Bible. And that heading says this, the cure for anxiety. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 6, 25 and following. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you, at verse 27, maybe y'all need to highlight this verse in your Bible. Can any of you add one moment to his life by worrying? Verse 28, and why do you worry about clothes? Observe how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, you of little faith? So don't worry saying, what will we eat and what will we drink or what will we wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek those things, and your heavenly Father knows that they need them. Verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be provided to you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Few moments I have left. Paul David Tripp said this week as I was reading his work. He said, all too often we find it hard to reach out for help. Yes, we know we weren't designed to go at it alone, and we know we are less than perfect, but we still hesitate to say, I'm not doing well. I need help. He went on to say, doing just fine when we're not fine. Pride makes us want to project that we are mature, wise, and capable. And then he said this simple statement, to be human is to need help. Guys, Grant, flash this on. I mentioned this last week, and I've gone back to it just in my mind. But I mentioned this last week. No Jesus, no peace. If you don't know Jesus, then you won't no peace. Can I ask you this morning, what did the Holy Spirit spark inside of your hearts and minds today? Can I encourage you to explore that? To lean into that? To go deeper? To go to the Lord in prayer as we end this service right here, right now? Don't wait. Maybe you need to ask for prayer. Maybe you need to fill out a connect card. Maybe you need to ask a friend, ask me or Pastor Austin for help. Maybe you need to reach out to a friend. Can I remind you this morning, though, that the Lord is listening, and he has placed you in this body of believers for a reason, that we're here to help and to pray for you along the way, that you are not alone. The enemy will be like, if you let them know what you're dealing with, then they just will run the opposite way. Dude, if y'all know even what some thoughts that went through my head, even in the closing parts of this service, I need the Lord. Amen. I need the Lord even now. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Let's pray together. Let's bow and pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for the truths of your word. Lord, that we need not worry. We need not be anxious about anything. But Father, in everything, in every situation, in every circumstance, Father, that we can cry out to you, that we can let you know those petitions, those needs in our lives. We can bring those requests, those specific requests before you. Father, I come this morning just thanking you, Lord, thanking you for who you are and what you've done. Lord, for what you have done in this church, what you have done in the lives and hearts of some of these people who have been down and out and worry and anxiety had them down and out, but they look to Jesus and now look at where they are, that they have that peace, Lord. They keep pressing on because they trust you. And so, Father, my prayer is at the end of a message like this, Father, help us. We've received your word. Father, we can walk out the door and say, huh, okay, that was great. Check off a box. Or, Father, we can lean in to what your spirit has impressed on our hearts and minds. Or we can come to this altar. We can pour out our hearts and pray. We can fill out a connect card. We can have a conversation after church with the pastor. We can have a conversation after church with a deacon or Sunday school teacher or a friend. Lord, help us to not leave here today without taking that next step. Lord, of wrestling with you and just asking you, what is your will for our lives? Maybe there's some here this morning that they've wallowed in that worry or the antidote. The answer was there all along. Father, for the one here this morning that may be going through counseling, praise God that they have that space, that safe space to unpack what's going on in their lives with someone else. Father, for the one here this morning that might take something, we take medication for our blood pressure and for our diabetes. But Father, help us to wrestle with you. What are you calling us to do? Help us to speak truth to the lies. Help us to seek you in prayer. And Father, help us to just lean into you and your strength when the worries of this world come. Help us to not worry about tomorrow. We could face tomorrow, why? Because you live. But Father, today, before we leave this place, help us to wrestle with what your heart, with what you have placed on our hearts and minds. Help us to take that next step into the fear and the unknown, trusting you because you are trustworthy. You are loving, you're good, you're gracious, you're kind. Father, as you reminded me today, it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. So, Father, have your way in these final moments. May we follow your Spirit's lead.